I'm gonna try to give you two in one. The first one would be, speak now or forever hold your peace. The other one is, if you're starting to see legalism and you're trying to get free, I'll explain what it's all about. So the first one, two in one. Speak now or forever hold your peace. And if you're trying to break free from legalism and you're starting to wake up to it, let's show you the process. So, speak now or forever hold your peace. Now, when I got married, I remember everybody, the preacher said, speak now or forever hold your peace to everybody that was listening, you know. And these were saved people, supposedly. And then after the marriage, they wanted to run your house. And then when you said, I don't think so, get out of my face, you know. This is not your house. You know, I didn't say that the first time, but it just kept on and on like a dripping water, this term signal. Listen, it's like, get out, go away, leave me alone. Am I telling you how to run your house? You don't. Now, that was a long time ago. Now, I wouldn't even give them one. I'd say, what? I sit my wife down and say, look, are you telling them to tell me how to run my house? Do you want to be married to them? Get out or get right. But even if you said that, they can't even hear you. They can't even hear you. But if the preacher says, speak now or forever hold your peace, why would they speak up later? Why not before? Because they wanted to control you. And it goes back to legalism too. It goes back to a cult, an ism, and legalism. So, so this cult and ism and legalism thing is rampant. Let me put this on pause. Somebody's beeping. Yeah. So this legalism cult ism thing is rampant, and it's not just rampant in homes, it's rampant everywhere. So now think about this for a second. Moses was the meekest man to ever live, the Bible says. He lived to 120, and he had the same natural force as he did when he was 18. So he was strong. But he was a leader, and he loved his people. And when his people rebelled, he went to God. God said, sit 20,000 over here. Those who want to follow the Lord and those who want to go back to Babylon or whatever. I can't remember exactly how it was. But anyway, 20,000 were swallowed up. What's my point? My point is, when you got people trying to tell you how to run your life or run your house or run anything, I even saw it on the YouTube. They say, don't talk about that. Don't watch that. Don't talk to that person. Don't say anything to that person. Some crazies at the stoplight. They don't even. Is it still running? Okay, so they try to tell you how to run your life. But you don't try to tell them how to run their life. What gives them the right to think they can give you an opinion about what you're doing? Who you talk to, what you watch, what you listen to, what preachers you listen to. I know when I was early on, I would listen to everybody. I mean, I was just listening. I listened to Louis Farrakhan, just see what he believed. That doesn't mean I agree with him. But the wife says, why are you listening to him? See, she was caught up in legalism. She wanted to control her authority. She wanted to usurp and Jezebel her authority. Now, when you try to usurp authority and it's a strong authority, they're not going to take it. Even Moses, he smote the rock twice. He destroyed the types and shadows so he couldn't enter into the promised land because he smote the rock twice. Yeah, there were some consequences, but he got tired of their rebellion, their back talking, their laziness, their foolish talk, their insanity, their gossip, their whatever they were doing, you know, all the foolishness that a person can do. It just kept on and on, and he just got tired of it. Now, Moses loved his people, but he had a right to get upset just like you get upset. Doesn't mean he has a right to do wrong or whatever or go against God. But anyway, you see Moses, the meekest man ever, the Bible says. Now, think about this. So when somebody sees meekness, which is a humility, they think it's from a flesh mind, they think it's weakness. But over time, they're going to realize your meekness is not weakness, but it's control power. The ones who run their mouth and jack their jaw and say stupid stuff and want attention and all that, the ones who run their mouth the most, those are the weak ones. That's why it's kind of like an animal, whether it's whatever it is, bird, squirrel, whatever. It kind of, whenever it's fighting, it kind of lifts its arms up. Well, Moses didn't have to lift his arm up. He had power. And so those that are in meekness, they think they can bully you, change you, hogtie you, get you to agree with their fake reality, their gaslighting. I didn't even know what gaslighting was back then, but I knew it was lies. I knew they were lying. I knew they were messed up in their thinking. And so it's like, why are you lying? I'm not lying. You contradicted yourself. A contradiction is a lie. It was gaslighting. It was trying to manipulate you and try to usurp your, to take away your soul, attack your soul, and usurp your soul. For real. When somebody's gaslighting you, they're trying to destabilize your whole core being, who you are. So that's an enemy in your own house. An enemy. The Bible says a man's enemies are in his own house. And that's a fact, Jack. So they'll try to, if they can't coerce you and change you and control you, they'll go to the preacher and try to get the preacher to change you. Speak now, forever hold your peace. They'll go to their mama. They'll go to their daddy. They'll go to their brother, their sister. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Do I go to your house, tell you how to live? Do I tell you how to believe? Oh, so you don't like faith alone and Jesus alone? You want me to add to the finished work of Jesus? I don't think so. You want me to go to a church that doesn't preach the gospel? I don't think so. You want me to believe your lies? You want me to put up with your gaslighting? I don't think so. David said, I won't have a liar in my face. First, I think he said, I won't have a liar dwell in my house. And then he says, I won't have a liar even in my face. Once somebody lies to you, and tries to gaslight you, and tries to gaslight your reality, they gotta go. Maybe you can let them slide one time, but usually if they do it once, they're gonna do it again. If you call it, here's the deal. So if they try to gaslight you, call them out on it. And if it makes them mad, or if they're gonna try to do it again. But if they say, oh yeah, I'm sorry I did that, maybe they have some hope. But most people are running from conviction. When you call them out on their fake reality, their contradiction, their lies, because their father's the devil, and you call them out on it, they get mad and run. They hide. Because the demon in them has been revealed. I had a sister in Christ one time. She said, why is it that they, every time you quote the Bible, they go mute, or they go like deaf and dumb? She must have experienced it more than me. I have seen that happen before, but I didn't experience it all the time. But I do know when you quote a Bible verse by heart, I quote the King James, but I don't know the Greek. But if you quote the Bible verse, you know, by heart to the T, I've seen them just shut up. I've actually seen them shut down. So, and I couldn't answer it at the time, but I think I have the answer now. The demon has to go. And so they're possessed and controlled by a demon. You know, the narcissist is. And so the narcissist is controlled by a demon. And it's a hive mind. So when you quote the word, they're animated by a hive mind demon. And the demon leaves. It has to flee. And so they're just left there standing dumbfounded. And they don't even know where they were, what they were saying, nothing. And they're just like sitting there like, you broke the spell. It's kind of like so they're possessed by a devil and they're believing lies, right? And you quote a Bible verse, which is absolute truth, and it hits them to the core, and that demon leaves. So they're just standing there dumbfounded, like, what just happened? Where did the demon go? The demon that's telling me what to think and controlling my mind, where did it go? It's gone, because you quoted the word. Speak now or forever hold your peace. That's true about a job. That's true about a marriage. That's true about a lot of things. Yes, things can happen. But if it's not your business, if two people go in agreement on a business, why are you coming over there knocking on the door trying to tell them how to run their business? Why are you trying to tell them how to run their house? Why are you trying to tell them to do anything? Are you their authority? No. That's pride, and it's also trying to set yourself above somebody else. And it's 99% of the time, it's a legalist who thinks that their socks never stink, their shoes don't stink, or they don't have to brush their teeth or whatever. In other words, they think they're perfect. These are the people who think that they're perfect and they never sin. Although they would sit, if you sit down and you say, how do you get saved? Admit you're a sinner and blah, blah, blah. But they sit around in their heart, in their core, and they think they're better than you because they never sin. But if you ask them and you test them, they'll say the right words, but it's not in them. A legalist can say the right words. A legalist can say the doctrine, but a legalist doesn't have it in their heart. They're still under law, and they're trying to put you back under law. That's it in a nutshell. Because they're under law, they hate your freedom, your joy, your happiness, your freedom. They want to put you back under law. It's a new day, people. So let's shift over to the other topic. You people who are starting to wake up to legalism and never heard of it, maybe you never heard it before, but you knew something wasn't right. They're trying to put you back under guilt, shame, condemnation, under law. The letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. They're trying to bring you back under law instead of spirit. Instead of you being a new creature in Christ, they wanted you to follow the letter of the law. Instead of you being spiritual, they want to make you under the flesh, under the law, because anything under the law is under flesh. Those that are under the law are cursed. Hang on a tree. If you're under law, you're going to be hung on a tree. And that's what the legalist preacher and the legalist friend and the legalist spouse and the legalist whatever, they're going to try to put you back under rule-based living. And if you mess up, they're going to keep a record of it. They're going to keep a log of all your faults. But what about their faults? They don't log their faults. They only log your faults. Can I get a witness? Do you understand what I'm saying? They can remember everything about your life, but they can't look at their own life. They can see all your faults and sins and mess ups, but they can't see their own sins. And really, the Bible says if you committed one sin, you committed them all. And so you're starting to wake up that you go to church, you got free, you got saved, and you were free in Christ. But when you go to church, they put you back under law and say, you better not miss a day at church or you're not right with God. And the Bible says, what are the works of God? To believe on His Son. How do you get right with God? Believe on Jesus. So if you believe on Jesus, what does that mean? You're right with God. Now there is a set apart thing, but set apart is your heart. Being set apart is your inner man. Being set apart is an inner thing. It's not an outward show. It's an inner thing. And so if you think by going to church every Sunday or Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, do you think that makes you more holy or more sanctified? You're smoking something. It's an inner